So here we go. Should be working fine. Of course, it was supposed to be then too. The thing is here we're going to look at the warnings again that Jude gives to these people during the tribulation. We'll show you that as Jews and as anybody that's interested in the tribulation, but mostly Jews. Because what people do is they give out books and they give out, you know, stuff on economy. They give it out to the gold standard stuff, the health, the food, the economy, the world government, this all the kind of stuff that's going on. And we got fantastic books on what's going on. And what's going wrong with America? What's going wrong with the world? We know what's going wrong. And the solutions are, they got all these earthly, supposedly biblical solutions. Turn to Jesus Christ, et cetera, get saved, all this kind of stuff. Nobody tells them to turn to the risen Savior. Nobody. Nobody says turn to Paul's books. That's where we hear from the risen Savior. So everybody thinks, all these Christians who are kind of flooping around here with Paul, think that, well, at least it gets them interested in Jesus. That's what Paul says. Yeah, but it gets them interested with the wrong gospel. Paul doesn't want that. He wants them interested in what Paul has to say. You show me a book other than written by a Pauline, Paulette, whatever, Paulish kind of a guy, and yes, they'll have the answer, but those aren't the books that are in Amazon. Those aren't the books that people are giving out for Christmas. People are giving people books that don't have the solution. They have the problem figured out. And the solution they give them is the wrong solution. They're giving them the teachings of Jesus during the gospel days, or, my point here this morning is they're going to 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, or Jude, because that's where the scary verses are at. And in the gospels, those are the scary verses. Paul has scary verses, but he's specifically referring them to the lost people. He's referring those in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 10. I've talked about those people that are seeking their own righteousness. And in Corinthians, where he talks about pastors that are preaching, ministers of righteousness, but they're preaching the wrong righteousness. Yeah, Paul has some scary stuff, but Paul's solutions are not scary. And Paul doesn't threaten anybody who is a Christian. So these books that are given, Christmas is going to be a fantastic opportunity to talk about Jesus, sure, the baby, or sure, the Jesus that's going to come someday, you know, and fix everything and all that stuff. People that want to get into Bible stuff, you better be saved in case he comes this year. Well, what about teaching the stuff that he wants to be taught before he comes? And that's to the dispensation of grace. And then, he's not coming until the tribulation is through. So why don't people quit preaching about the tribulation? We're not in the tribulation. Let's wait till the tribulation to preach it. I'm not going to be here to preach it. Then they can give out all the books they want to give. You know? Because then it'll fit. So there's a bunch of that kind of junk going on. And bunches of that stuff. How many people are giving out books for Christmas that show the problem and it shows Jesus and God and the whole thing, but doesn't give an ounce of words about the risen Savior's teachings? So let's look to Jude here, and let's see what is said here. And you're going to see why people think this is written to us today, but you're also going to see why there's no way it can be. First of all, the placement in the Bible. I hope you're hearing this stuff, right? Are we working? Everything's fine? Yes, okay. And the video thing is going, so we'll just keep going here. So here we are. We are in Jude. And if you want to call it, I think it's Hey Jude, you know, that old thing. But it's the 2011 version. And we're just going to do a few verses of it here this morning, the first 11 verses. I hope we get that far. And there's some stuff in here that we will see is getting worse and worse. We're drawing closer. We can't be there today because we're not 666. We can't be there today because of the way things are going on. But we sure see them coming around closer and closer. Maybe the last time I did this was 2010 or 9 or 8 or 7, but we're that much closer. And there's one thing in here that really is an obvious increase in our day-to-day affairs here. Okay, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Okay, now, is that speaking to us because we're sanctified? Is it speaking to us because we are preserved in Jesus Christ? And is it speaking to us because we are called? Are we the called that he's talking about here? Now, you go back and you study sanctified. Sure, we're sanctified. Well, so were they in the tribulation. So that's not a problem. preserved in Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. But what we will see here, I'm looking up at Romans 11 here, what we will see as we get into this stuff in a more detailed fashion, that, and this is an odd thing, but it's what this, I mean, you've got to believe this Bible to be the Word of God. Not one word is off. Not one word. Because you will see that, yes, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And yet, these guys, during the tribulation, they're preserved in Jesus Christ. But our preservation is kept by Him. Their preservation in Jesus Christ is kept by them. Because you will see throughout Hebrews through Jude that their salvation can be lost. You will see from Hebrews to Jude that they have to be chastised to stay on the path and to stay clean. Because if they mess up, was the phrase I use, then they're no longer preserved in Jesus Christ. Because they messed it up. They lost it. They gave it up. They went back. So, Jesus Christ, if they're preserved in Him, He will chastise them. He will guide them. He will tell them what to do, what not to do. He will control them by what He tells them to do, but they still have to make the decision. We put our faith in Christ. We have received the faith of Christ. They had to build up their faith in the Old Testament. And in the Hebrews to Jude, they have to do the same thing. They have to keep their faith. They have to maintain that faith. If they do, they lose it. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it says here, preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, am I just trying to explain away the fact that this is written to us? No, this is not written to us. I'll show you some more. Hang on. And then the phrase called. Well, I would suggest you do a study. There's ways of looking at this calling thing. Yes, we're called. The Romans, the Jews are called. They're the chosen people, they're called. Well, it says in Romans chapter 10, the chapter 8:29, it says there, we all know that all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what you'll see when you do a study on called is everybody's called. All men are called, it says there, everybody. And He has different things, different purposes. That's like it says, of the called according to His purpose. So this is not just not referring to the fact that we are called, and it's not even usable here for the fact that it was just the Jews that are called. You'll see that everybody's called. Okay, so far nobody can convince me that this is for sure telling me in verse 1 that this is written to me, sanctified and preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm not only preserved in Jesus Christ, I'm preserved by Jesus Christ. And yes, He will preserve them if they follow His way. He preserves us because He doesn't even impute sin. It's a long more story there. So you'll see more as we go here. Okay. But what we're talking about here, the conclusion here, is the fact that Jude is writing this to people during the tribulation, to the Jews during the tribulation. That's what this is all about. This is not written to us. But we can learn from this, as we're going to do here this morning. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. That's good. That would be great. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, define, what is common salvation? It was needful for me to write unto you. Now, this is the tribulation people now. And exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay? Is that us? And when it says, contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. Well, are we talking about the faith of Jesus Christ here? Well, we could be, and we would be, if this was directed to Gentiles today. But as you read through this, you will see without a shadow of a doubt, He's not referring to the Gentiles. He's not referring to the faith of Jesus Christ that we have received. He wants people during the tribulation to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. These people in the Old Testament had to have faith, and their faith had to grow strong. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You get into the tribulational books. They have to maintain their faith. They've got to have this faith, and that faith comes from Christ and the fact that they develop it stronger and stronger and stronger, but nowhere is it called the faith of Jesus Christ. Now again, I'm explaining it in a fashion that I've read the rest of Jude and Peter, etc., etc., and those are all written to the Jews. if you want to look at this from the standpoint of that it's the Gentiles, you can make it sound like that. Earnestly contend for the faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ, which was once delivered unto the saints. Well, yes, if the rest of these books talked about Gentile stuff, but they don't. So let's just not take the first three verses and let's make it apply to the Gentiles. Let's look at the whole thing, and we realize by study that this is actually all written to the Jews. So when he says, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, that's an Old Testament term, saints. Yes, Paul does use it. But if you look back at it, it's still referring to the Jews. So the Jews that the faith that these Jews had was still their faith. So these pastors manipulate their first three verses and try to get people to realize that, well, see, this Jude is written to us. And then it gives us the okay to contend for the faith of Jesus Christ. We have to contend for the faith of Jesus Christ. It's just there. Now you've got to fight for your faith. You can't. How do you fight for the faith of Jesus Christ? It's His. But we can contend for our faith. Yes, we can. But is that what are we called to do that? This is during the tribulation. They got to fight for their faith. Got to fight to have it. What are we starting to fight more and more for today? We're fighting more and more for our faith, for us to be allowed to have our faith. And we lose our faith. We quit. We give up. We get tired of the battle. We lose our faith. Have we lost the faith of Jesus Christ? No. How do we contend for that? We can't lose it. Can't shut it down. We can't turn it off. It's there. So we're getting closer and closer to be contending for the faith more and more. Now, again, we're not in the tribulation, so this is not our commandment as such, but we recognize the fact that we have to contend for it more and more. We're getting closer to where that's going to be their ministry, to contend for that faith. Now, you'll see as we go here, this is still Jewish. This is not our calling. Just reminding that this is where we're headed towards, and we're closer and closer and closer. Remember, falling away has to take place. So he tells us not to be troubled by spirit in spirit or word or letter, what they wrote. Just, he says, again, back to that thing in Thessalonians. He had one more verse in there. He says, halfway through that chapter, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. That's us. That's we. Because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation, not personally, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The truth that we are believing today is not the truth that will have to be believed during the tribulation. So he tells us to stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught. Comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. We're supposed to be doing good things. We're supposed to be doing the right thing in a situation. We're not supposed to be going to certain places. We're not supposed to be doing some certain things. We're not supposed to be hearing certain things. We're not supposed to be teaching certain things. We're supposed to be being the Christian with grace and mercy and tears and rebuking and reproving. And eventually walking away, stepping away from it. That's our ministry. That's our calling as such. In the tribulation, they're going to be fighting to the death for the faith that they have. Not the faith of Jesus Christ, their faith. And we're getting closer to that. Okay, verse 4, and you'll see it right here. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Well, you stay in your King James Bible, you're going to see these men that are creeping in. More and more of them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. But they're ungodly men, but they're still dealing with the grace of God. So they have to be ministerial type of people, religious-y type of people. And these men are creeping in more and more. To us, they're not creeping in. We spot them in a second. They're everywhere today. But they're not everywhere. But they're doing this verse right here more and more and more. Well, does that prove that we're in the tribulation? No, it proves that we are that much closer. These certain men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, not by God, of course, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, there they're taking the grace, that's Paul's teachings, which is what we're hearing today. And they're taking that grace and they're turning it into lasciviousness. Now, have they turned it? No, but they are turning it more and more. We'll get to that in a second. And denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, because they've denied their risen Savior. Now, let's go back just for a second here. This is a long definition here. It says they're taking the grace of God and they're turning it into lasciviousness. Okay, now pay close attention to this thing. I know it would be easy if you could read it on the notes. And Jeanette, you made a comment about wishing I could type the notes up. I wish I could too. The time just doesn't give it to me. Or I'm just so tired at night. I'm so far behind on notes that I got a stash over here. For a while it wasn't notable because we were just going through verses. I'll try to get this one up in notes here sometime this week. We got two Christmas concerts in the next 2 weeks. But, we'll try. I know you want the notes. Okay, so it says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, here's what they're turning it into. And this is where we can see how we're getting closer and closer. Because this lasciviousness wasn't as prevalent 2 years ago as it is today. But 2 years ago, it was prevalent more than the 2 years before that. It's been getting this bad this quickly. Now, I'm going to define lasciviousness, but it's going to go through a whole series of words, and you'll get the gist of what's going on here. And you will see this all throughout our society. You'll see it all throughout our country. You'll see it going on in the schools. You talk with kids, and they've got these dirty minds. They don't even know that are dirty minds. You talk to parents. You look at advertisements. You look at TV programs. You look at everywhere you go. You go into the store. You see the clothes that they're making you ladies buy. Well, you still don't have to. I still don't believe that. You can't find something somewhere. You don't have to play the game of the world when it comes to that. Get out a needle and thread and fix them or something. I don't know. So, but this lasciviousness, here we go. It's everywhere. And it's going to get worse. I mean, it can get worse. It can get worse. Go to Europe. You'll see where it's worse. Okay, lasciviousness. Here we go. It's going to take a while. Lasciviousness. Looseness. Irregular indulgence. Of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust, promote irregular indulgences. Now, remember it says, turning the grace of our God. So this is what's going on in the churches. This is what's going on in your day-to-day living. Instead of the grace of God in our lives, we got this lasciviousness stuff, okay, irregular indulgence. Okay, the word we used was wantonness. Now, let's define wantonness. Sportiness, frolicsomeness, negligent of restraint, lewdness. So we see what lasciviousness is, and one of the definitions is wantonness. Wantonness is sportiness, frolicsomeness, you know, playtime. Ladies are places where they aren't supposed to be playing. Men are playing around and stuff they're not supposed to be playing around with. Frolicsome. They have no restraint anymore. Right? I mean, you see it everywhere. There is no restraint. It's all a game. It's all party. It's all looseness. It's all lasciviousness. And the grace of God, let's just forget about that. And let's go party hardy. Now, one of the words they use here was lewdness. Okay, let's define lewdness. Unlawful indulgences of lust, fornication, adultery, shamelessness, licentiousness. Okay, so this is stuff that's not even right. Basically, it goes against nature. It's not right. Okay, what's this licentiousness? Okay, licentiousness is excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the restraint of the law, morality, and decorum. So what's happening here? We are overstepping our freedom. We're overstepping our liberty. Yes, you can make the choice of what you wear. You can make the choice of where you go. But even in America, there were standards that were kept. There were morals and the word decorum. So it's a contempt against what's right. And as every generation grows up, what's right is lesser, 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 lesser right. So our young people say, look at our generation, well, what is that? That's pretty stuffy. No, what you're wearing, what you're doing is wrong. But not according to them, because that's what they've been brought up under. Music is a good example. So if they use the word decorum, it says here, excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the restraint of the law, morality, and decorum. Okay, what's decorum? What's the normal thing here? Decorum. propriety of speech or behavior, suitableness of speech or behavior to one's own character or to the place and occasion. Decorum. This is the way it's done here. That's right. What's the decorum? This is how we do things here. Seemliness. Decency opposed to rudeness. Levity. Okay, so this country had a decorum and it's been destroyed. So it says here, levity. Okay, what is levity? Levity. Lightness of temper or conduct. Changeableness. Unsteadiness. Inconstancy. Okay, so levity is lightness of conduct, changeableness. You got no standards. You're flexible. You go do something, you take a stand on this. A year later, you changed. See, we don't stand strong anymore. I really believe that we used to stand strong 5 years ago, if I remember. We used to stand on certain things to say, we don't do this. And whether they did it in the home doesn't matter as much as, you know, I mean, the testimony is such. We had a testimony for Christianity years ago. But anyway, so then it uses the phrase, the word inconstancy. Okay, what is inconstancy? Remember, this is what the grace of God has been turned into. That's what I'm reading here. Lasciviousness, looseness, wantonness, lustfulness, lewdness, unlawful indulgences of lust, fornication, adultery, shamelessness, excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the restraint of what's right, you know, contempt of what's right in decorum, which is how things are done. Then it gets into the phrase levity, which is lightness about it. Who cares? Who gives a flip, as they say, or whatever. There's a phrase, whatever. And then they use the word inconstancy. Inconstancy is fickleness. Have you heard the word fickle? You're so fickle. You know, you're just a worm. You're a flake. You got no stand on anything you say you do. You're just fickle. You know, you're just, what a waste of humanity right there. Fickleness, instability. Okay, what is instability? Want of stability, meaning there's not enough of it. It's not that you want it. Want is means there is none. Stability, there's no stability. There is no firmness and purpose. We are as fickle as a bowl of jello with what we believe anymore. Look at how people dress. Look at where you go. Look at who's working. Look at who's running the show. Look at who's behind the steering in the ship. Look at how the homes are. Look at what's going on everywhere. We're fickle. So turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness is all this stuff. And look at the last, this is where I stop it at here, if I remember. Yep, this is where I stop it at here. The last part of this definition is want of firmness. We don't have, there's no firmness in purpose. We have no specific purpose. We just want to make a buck. We're so hurting. And here's the last one. All this is character of weak minds. And that's what it is. So how can this happen where it says here, certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into all this junk, is because we have no mind. We're weak. We're weaklings. We're fickle. We're playful. We just want to skip all the stuff that's serious. We don't want to fight the battles anymore. And we're fickle. Our mind is just worthless. And this is what these guys are trying to get done. And it's happening. So when they get us to be that way, then it's denying the one Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they do, because that's not the teachings of the right teachings that are supposed to be taught today. So we have people that are just as flaky and fickle as can be. So we're getting closer to that, aren't we? We're that way already in so many ways. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because we're not in the tribulation yet. Now let's keep going. How are we doing for time? We got a late start, didn't we? I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. See, now here's a huge clue right here. Though ye once knew this, okay, knew what? How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. See, they believed that. They knew that. And the angels which were kept from their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chain. They know this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. They know this. Well, this is Old Testament. This is Jews. I will therefore, back to verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Been there, done that. Though you once knew this, even though I'm going to remind you guys what happened in our past. That's what he's doing. This is a Jewish book. So, now you go back and you realize, yes, these guys are sanctified by God the Father. They can believe during the tribulation, but, and they are preserved in Jesus Christ, but they're not preserved by Jesus Christ. He will chastise them. He will correct them. He will tell them the path to go. He will give them the steps to follow, but they have to do it. And they are called, but so are we as Christians. All people are called. The faith that they're going to be fighting for is to have the faith, to be strong. Just like in Daniel and the guys that were, or Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, that is all based on their faith. So this is a Jewish book. This is not written to us. People read the first three verses, think it's to them, and then they get scared to death by the preaching of the following verses. And no, this isn't there to scare us. This is there to tell us what's going on and what's going to be happening in the tribulation, and it's there for during the tribulation. But are they going to find the truth during the tribulation? If they are, it's going to be through a King James Bible, and they're going to be reading the back part of the Bible. They'll be reading about Paul. That's the way it was for the Gentiles. They'll be reading the Gospels, because that's the Jesus that they're going to have to be looking towards. And he's coming back real soon, as you'll see here in a few verses here. Or is that tonight? I think that's tonight. Okay, so verse 5, you once knew this. Once knew what? There's three things here he uses for an example. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Whoa, that's a scary thing. If during those days he actually killed them. Okay, tough God. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains. Woo. Under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They're just waiting to get the hammer put on them. They had a long wait. That's scary. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. See, there were other cities than just Sodom and Gomorrah. Giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. All three of those were God putting them off, killing them. Now, look at Isaiah 16. Let's just do a little bunny trail for a minute about Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, this whole thing is about getting ready for the tribulation. It's getting closer and closer and closer. So if they use here as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude uses Sodom and Gomorrah as an example here. And he says here, given that they gave them over, sales over to fornication, went after strange flesh. We know that. That's the thing. But let's go to Isaiah 16. If you already don't know this, but this is what really was going on. This is what the details of the situation was. Isaiah 16:49. Not Isaiah, it's Ezekiel. Why do I write down Isaiah? It's Ezekiel 16. I probably got both references wrong totally here. Ezekiel 16, not Isaiah. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Now here's why Sodom and Gomorrah was why they were the way they were. Behold, this was iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Here's why they were the way they were. And this is why America is going down the road it's going down. This is why the world is going down the world is, road it's going down. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. There's what the problem was. It wasn't just hanging around the queers and stuff. Sodom and Gomorrah, there was pride. They're proud of themselves. America's proud of them. We won World War I and World War II and blah, 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 and our spirit, blah, 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 blah. You know? Well, we can fix it. We're Americans. Fullness of bread. We've always had everything. An abundance of idleness. Even though we're all really, 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 really busy, none of that stuff has to be done. Only a little bit of it. We have tons of idleness. We've got vacuums. We've got lawnmowers. We have all the tools that we can have to have a green lawn. Well, you know, live on out here in the prairie. I don't recall any of those homesteaders keeping their front lawn trimmed. You know? And if they trimmed anything, they probably trimmed their roof. Get up there and mow the roof, but they didn't. You know, so we're really, really busy, but our job is 80 miles away. How much time, how many hours a day do we waste driving? So we got a lot of time on our hands that we just have filled with just worthless, necessary things, but, you know. And look at it this way. How many hours of TV do you waste? How many video times do we waste? Look at the kids. Look what they do every day. They got to come home and turn on their phones. They got to turn on their handheld intelligence machines. They've got to play their games, their video. How many hours people spend on? Look what's that thing? The Wii 2, or the Wii 1, or the Wii whatever. How many hours do people waste on that stuff? That's America. Kids. Out here, these kids where I work with, they work hard in their ranches and stuff. Some of these kids don't even have these little gadgets. They want them, and yet they work really hard. Well, they're different kind of kids. Yes, they are. But we still got TV to bring the stuff in. Oh, we're just tons of time wasted in our day. All of us. How many times do you check your email? You know? You can sit down to YouTube and never get up again and give yourself a cultural education you would never get otherwise. You've got to say no to this stuff. Now, you can turn that YouTube into an intelligent classroom teaching thing, but how many people sit down to that computer and never get up again? And we're guilty. So we have an abundance of idols and in her daughters. You know, the countries who put out people that come from America. Look how many, you know, here's these Middle East guys. They're going after us with what? With our weapons. I've been reading the diary of Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, and this stuff goes way back to Reagan, selling all these guys, Saddam and all these guys, all these weapons and armory and all that kind of stuff. You know, and they're using computers. Well, who invented the computers? They're driving our cars. They're, you know, they got our refrigeration system. I mean, come on, it's just amazing. So, anyway, whatever. This is what I like the most. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See, we have a huge welfare state. We are so welfare ingrained that the welfare recipients are going to be the ones that are going to vote in the next president. And what's wrong with welfare? Nothing. But here's how welfare should be designed: strengthening the hand of the poor and needy. Not just giving them the stuff, but strengthening their hands. Give them the job. Give them the ability to work to get their stuff. And they were haughty. Okay, well, let's look up the word haughty. We'll have a lot of definitions set this morning here. Haughty. Proud. High opinion of oneself. With contempt for others. It isn't just that we are good, but everybody else is rotten. Lofty arrogance. Supercious. Supercilious. Okay, what is that? Supercilious. Proceeding from excessive pride. Pride mingled with contempt. Proud, imperious. Okay, lofty, bold. That's us. We know that's us. I mean, Jude's hard on these people coming up in the tribulation. Well, come on. We can see what's going on today. So these guys may be creeping in unaware, but we see them. We have night vision. We can see what's going on around us. They're not ready to do their big thing, but they're starting to do it more and more and more. That's my whole point here this morning. Okay, so we go back to those guys. Verse 8, likewise? Yeah, likewise what? Sodom and Gomorrah? These angels that aren't happy where they were first placed? God rescued them out of Egypt, but they didn't want to believe, so they got destroyed. So just like those people, also these filthy dreamers, you know, these people that are making this stuff happen, those that have crept in, they defile the flesh. See, our flesh is defiled. And our flesh is not any better now that we're saved. This isn't written to us. Jude is not a book to us today. We learn from it, but we sure don't have to worry about it. Okay, so these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. They despise dominion, and that's authority. And speak evil of dignities. Again, that's a ranking. That's an authority place. we have to realize, this is just a bunny trail here. I never liked it when I first started pastoring, the little kids telling all the adults, well, you know, hi Billy, hi Jerry, hi Bob, hi, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, where's your respect for adults? It's not being taught. Teachers, they call them by their first name in so many places anymore. So we see these three things. The flesh is being defiled today. Oh, totally. Totally. Aren't you glad that we are cut away from the flesh? Circumcision made without hands. This is not, that doesn't take place during the tribulation. They despise dominion. What do we think? We don't even like authority. You know, follow your boss. One of the hardest things for us Christians to do is to treat our boss properly, according to Paul's teachings in Timothy. Because that's our job as a Christian, is to obey our boss. And not to complain, not to whine about prices, blah, 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 blah. That's our job. That's our calling. We don't want to do that. So we're already caught up in some of this stuff. Our flesh, what do we do every day that just putrefies our flesh? Our flesh stinks already. Yeah, but we can just add more to it. And we do, but it doesn't defile my soul. But in the tribulation, now remember, in the tribulation, Acts chapter 2, I think it's worth that, Acts chapter 2, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, in verse 17. And this is where they get the prophecy. This is where the ladies can do their preaching. Ladies, if you want to preach, hang around for the tribulation, have at it. That's where you can preach. Tell that to a lady pastor. I appreciate what you're doing, but you're in the wrong dispensation. What do you mean? Well, you want to be a pastor at? Wait till the tribulation and have at it. Because that's the way it'll be. Your daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy on my servants and handmaidens, everybody, because the spirit of God will be upon their flesh. So, back to Jude 8, these guys are going to come along, and they're going to defile that flesh, which causes them to be denied the only Lord God and Jesus Christ, up in verse 4. So the faith they have to have is not the faith of Jesus Christ, but their own faith to stand strong and contend for it. And yet today we see this happening more and more and more. But it's not our flesh that we need to worry about, because of what Paul teaches from the risen Savior. Risen Savior took care of all that stuff. And he given it to the Gentiles, but he would have given it to the Jews, but they killed the preacher. They just said, we don't want it. And they went after Paul. They went after Stephen. You know, they didn't want it. So it's this much closer. The flesh is a mess. We don't like authority. And they speak evil of dignities. How many people, you know, probably the biggest complaint I have towards me is I'm a controller. And I guess I try to be. I'm sorry I've done that to people. I've just made them mad. They hate me to this day. But really, all a guy did was to preach what Paul teaches. That's all you're doing, is you're telling people, this is what pleases God. Wearing what you're wearing right now does not please God. Because that makes me a controller. Not, you know, knowing what pleases God. God doesn't want you ladies out different places. He doesn't want you men doing some of the things that us men are doing. He doesn't want us listening to the music that we got going on. He wants us to stop that stuff within our home. He wants you to stop wearing this. He wants you to stop going to these places. That's not what a lady does. That's not what a godly Christian lady does. This is not what she wears. Man, this, you don't take your family to these movies. You stand up and say, no, honey, we're not going to go to these movies, or your kids or whatever. We don't do that. We don't like that. It's called controlling. They despise dominion. They despise authority. They despise somebody else telling somebody what to do. I don't like it. I remember telling the school board years ago, how about if I ran your farm? You don't know anything about farming. And I said, well, where do you think you know anything about van directing? So I've been rebellious against authority. We're from the 60s. Bob, us, we're all from the 60s. We don't like authority. We've been taught not to. Well, look at what authority's doing. Yeah, authority is messing things up royal. God tells us to stick with it. And speak evil of dignity. Speak evil of all these people that are higher rank than you or something, you know. We're all just, Look what's going on in America. We're rioting. And it's the welfare people that are rioting. They want everybody to, they want the whole government to give them everything. And Obama got elected because he told everybody, we'll pay for your house mortgages. And these people believed it. And now they expect it to happen. They're defiling the flesh. They're queered out something fierce. They're despising dominion. They don't care about anybody's authority. And they speak evil of all this stuff. And so it's in dramatic form in this world. But it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Now, yet Michael the archangel, verse 9, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's what he said. Now, do you hear people hear that today? Ah, the Lord rebuke. You ever walk up to somebody and say, the Lord rebuke thee? Does that person ever quit? No. So, this is the tribulation comment. The Chick Comics. I'm sorry I gave them so many people over my years. That's all tribulational kind of stuff. It's a joke. Now, read. You know, if you know anything about the body of Moses, when he died, nobody knows where he was buried. Why is that? Because God still needs him in Revelation chapter 11. We'll talk about that as we get closer to Christmas time. If you haven't read it, read Revelation 11 and Deuteronomy 34. Okay, we'll finish up here with 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. I like that. You know, they don't even know what they're talking about. That they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. What they do know about will destroy them. But what they don't know about, they speak evil about it. Like a Bible. Like rightly dividing. Getting worse and worse, isn't it? They speak evil, but they know nothing about it. And what they do know is wrong, and it'll destroy them. Then 11, we'll pick it up on 11 tonight. I was going to try to get it done this morning, but 11 tonight, woe unto them. Jude says, hey, woe unto these people that we just read about. Some serious stuff going on. For they have gone in the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and they're perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, what are those three things? If you've been with me over the years, you know what they are. If you're like me, you forgot what they are. And if you never heard of it, tonight's the night to hear about it. This is what's going on. More and more people are going in the way of Cain. More and more people are greedily running after the heir of Balaam. And more are perishing in the gainsaying of Kor. What does that mean? That's tribulational stuff, but it's happening more and more today. So, we'll talk about it tonight.